question we have is, how did you two get picked to be the host?
Well, I'm not sure about Bob here, but I believe that Nathan asked me to be the host of the podcast because of my work with Clubhouse Magazine. We always have run Adventures in Odyssey content in Clubhouse. I love the show, and so I think Nathan said, hey, let's see how we can get more interaction between Clubhouse and Odyssey. And so when the podcast came up, he asked me if I was willing, and I'd done a little radio in college and said, you know, I'll give it a try. I'm used to sitting behind a keyboard just typing away, but we'll see what life is like behind a microphone. So it's been a blast.
Yeah, Jesse got the gig without having to work very hard to. I actually was asked to audition. I was one of a number of people who gave it a try, and I think part of it was chemistry, just how well people sounded together on the microphone. I certainly can't say that it was because I was any more talented than the rest of them or that I had any more experience with Odyssey, but I was just really blessed to have the opportunity to do that, and it's been a great fun working not only with Jess, but getting a chance to interview so many cool people, talented people connected to this show.
Yeah, could you maybe tell us some of the other people that auditioned for it?
I couldn't. No, I really, not that I wouldn't want to. I don't remember. But there are several people who have been close to Odyssey,
yep,
and gave it a shot. And for whatever reason, they chose me.
There were a couple.
I'm still confused. I still don't know how I
got it. Well, that was the thing. There were a couple women and another guy or two that I remember sitting over there and thinking, wow, these guys are a lot better than I am. So I figured they'd just let me go by the wayside. And I guess by the grace of God, they put Bob and I together and it's been a blast.
Yes, but not the character. When I say yes, other people connected to Odyssey, it's not none any of the actors or other voices,
yeah,
that you would know. I think they're just people who have worked behind the scenes and were available. Basically, that's pretty much what it came down to.
Exactly.
I like to interject here and say, I remember in one podcast, I think you guys did an interview with Aria Curzon and Katie Lee. There was Jesse and another woman from Clubhouse.
You remember well. That is Suzanne Gosselin. Her just got married. It was Suzanne Hadley at the time. She is the editor of Clubhouse Junior, and she actually does a ton with the Boundless podcast, focused talking to the kind of the young marriage, college age people. She blogs for them and does the podcast for them. So she was just so busy in other things that I know that probably weighed in some of the choices. As like Bob said, we were available and excited about it, and so it ended up being us.
Mm. Well, cool. Hey, Tasha, you want to do the next question?
Why was Jesse the only host in the first few episodes?
Well, I'm not sure. Nathan might be able to answer that question better, but I think they put me out there, and then they realized there's no way this guy can do it by himself. He needs somebody else in there to help him out. And so thank goodness they were able to get me a co-host where we could play off each other and have a little bit of fun, because honestly, it's kind of lonely sitting in the studio behind a microphone. It's great interviewing people over the phone, and there's a lot of energy there, but I really like the dynamic of having two people in the studio where we can have a lot more energy and fun with each other. So I just think they added another person just to make the show that much more exciting.
Yeah, I don't mean to be offensive or anything, but the first few where you're by yourself, it sounded kind of dry, not very energetic like you are with Bob.
This interview's over. I'm out of here. No, I'm totally kidding.
Well, you know,
you're right.
And this is a credit to Jesse, too, and I think this would go, even if you listen back to early episodes of the Plugged In podcast, you'll probably notice that once you get comfortable behind a microphone and once you get comfortable working with certain producers and the way that expectations are made of you, that you just get so much more relaxed and your personality comes out. And that's something that I've enjoyed hearing Jesse over time, and why I think the chemistry continues to be good between us is that Nathan or whoever kind of brings the material to us and say, hey, here are the things we need to talk about. Here are the places we want to go with this guest or that guest or the different pieces of news we need to get across. They almost write them and communicate that with us in mind. So some of the comedic things that we do, I think they have gotten a better feel for who we are and what we do well. And so, you know, I think there's that learning curve for everybody,
oh, yeah,
not just the people in front of the microphone, but the people who are writing down some of the things that we need to say and so on.
Yeah, I noticed that when they first started me and Natasha's podcast, I tried to go more by script, but later on I felt that it was too stiff, and so we just tried to just go on off the bat some of the time.
Yeah, and I think it worked better.
Exactly. And you know, you just that as the relationship grows with, you know, behind the microphone, it does. It comes across much more freely and naturally when you can just kind of play off each other and have a good time with each other's personalities.
Yeah, I think we had an advantage over you guys because we're brother and sister.
That's true. Exactly.
Do you guys ever fight on your podcast?
We may fight about how long Tasha laughs or something. She gets so tickled at some things.
Yeah, I have a brother that makes me, sort of.
And I'll even beat you sometimes.
I love it.
Okay, the next question is, could you tell us how a podcast is produced from start to finish?
Wow. You know, Jesse just pointed to me as if I know. This is the kind of a question. Now, of course, Nathan Hubler would be very helpful since he's the producer. But the short version is that we're brought into the studio, and this is one of the things I love about it, is I just kind of show up. I get a call from Nathan. He says, listen, we need to record a podcast, and this is what we're talking about, and we've got an interview with, you know, whoever, whether it's an actor or a sound designer or one of the writers or, you know, John Campbell, the composer, and I just show up, and I've got some questions, much the way that you've developed yours, and then we add questions of our own as it goes along, and then we're done. We walk out of the studio and we hand it over, and they kind of edit out the you know, kind of condense it, make it as efficient and economical in terms of the way it communicates information as they can, adding the effects and the music. And then I believe it gets uploaded, and I don't know that it's a whole lot more complicated than that, but I'll tell you what, the guys that you don't hear very often, of course, Nathan Hubler, who's our producer, and Rudy Hare, who is our mm-hmm. engineer, and those guys are so terrific. They make it easy, guys, because we walk in and we just kind of do our part, and then we get to hear it just like you, and it's amazing the stuff that they do to polish it up and make us sound really good, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't Kevin McCreary work on it for a while, too?
Exactly. When he was here interning, he was worked on it. We've had numerous college interns who grew up loving the show, and they walk in with us a ton of knowledge and a ton of passion about the program, and so they'll help Nathan put it together and throw some ideas at him. They've helped with filming. They've helped with questions, just a lot of different ways. So there's actually a lot of other behind-the-scene people who have come in and interned and helped out with the podcast.
Yeah, and Kevin is still freelancing, doing some extra work for us on the side.
Well, Tasha, I think it's your turn to ask the next question.
Okay. How come Bob has been in some Odyssey shows and Jesse hasn't?
We're working to correct that.
Well, Bob is just much more talented than I am.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
I kind of have a voice like a girl. And so no. I don't think they found the right part for me.
No, I'll tell you, I'll be real honest with you. I'll tell you the story. I'll give you the brief version. It is a matter of who you know. Back in the early 90s, I was working in, of course, it's called Plugged In now, but the department at Focus I was in was called the Youth Culture Department, and I worked alongside a gentleman named Mark Drury. This is before he got involved with Odyssey. And Mark and I were friends, and in fact, one of the other people in that department is the woman he eventually married, Kelly, and our families were friends together. We spent holidays together, and so Mark and I were buddies, and at one point when he had shifted over to Odyssey, this is back in the early to mid-90s, he needed a little extra work. I guess they had done all the voices in California, and there was a voice that they needed for an episode called Aloha Oi. And he said,
oh,
hey, Bob, one of your favorites?
It's a great one.
Well,
yeah.
He said, hey, Bob, can you come down to the studio? And he knew I had a bit of a drama background. I've done some stage and things like that. And he said, how about reading this part for me? And it was Commander Shulman of the cutter ship Ben Franklin. I remember that. I'm the guy who kind of comes in and when their dinghy is sinking. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Ahoy on the minnow!
You got it. That was my introduction. It's probably the first thing I ever did for Adventures in Odyssey, and that was thanks to my friendship with Mark. And of course, once you've done something like that, you tend to get calls once in a while, and I never say no because any opportunity I have to contribute to an Odyssey episode like that is just it's gold. There's a difference, I think, between what I was called to do here at Focus on the Family, which is teach media discernment and help families work through entertainment issues together. That is my vision and that's my calling, and I am very pleased to do that. But in terms of just fun, anything I get to do with Odyssey is just, it's icing on the cake.
It is really fun. And I have been on the show. I was in Passages, Darian's Rise, as one of the
people, really?
Who are kind of, yes, one of the voices, one of the background things. You can't even hear me on it, hunting around for the king. I was one of those kind of background, kind of voicey people.
You were a king hunter?
I was a king hunter.
Were you one of the laughing soldiers, too? You came down for that, didn't
yes,
you?
One of the laughing soldiers. In fact, what they kept telling us was, try to be more manly. And and there were like five or six of us in there all trying to go, okay, yes. So we were manly soldiers.
I think, you know, Natasha and Austin, I think you probably hear me on anywhere between 15 and 20 episodes. Usually things like the bailiff, you know, the guy, that maybe the waiter, you know, a line here, a line there. Very often do I actually have a name. But I think, Nathan, I think I've got a couple... Album 51. Nathan's kind of looking through the glass. I think there are a couple episodes of Album 51. I came down because you don't really have context. You come down and they have a couple pages and they say, can you read these lines? And you do it and they say, that sounded good. We'll talk to you later. And you have no idea what that's going to look like at the end.
Yeah, actually, I'll just jump in here if we wanted to say anything. Bob will be heard in the Jubilee Singers, the three-part episode. You'll hear him in there in a couple of different places, actually.
All right.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Is he singing on there?
No. They knew better than to ask me to do that.
Okay, the next question is, what's the funniest thing that happened during recording a podcast?
A couple things come to mind. The first one was when we were interviewing Chris, who has done the voice of Barbie and done so many really amazing voice work, when she told me that I would make a good Ken. Now, I don't know if that's funny or not, but it made me laugh, but it also, it makes my wife laugh when I tell her that as well.
So, do you remember that part when she adopted the voice of Barbie say about Kelsey,
clean up your room.
How she talked to her own daughter in Barbie's voice because it would carry a little more weight. I think of an interview, too, and it was the Jim Cummings interview. Jesse and I, and it hasn't been that long, because we talked to Jim, it was... prior to the release of The Princess and the Frog. Of course, he did the voice of Ray the Cajun Firefly there, and he had also done a voice for Darian's Rise, one of the key players there. And I was, both Jesse and I were sitting across the table, almost speechless because we were laughing silently, trying to keep from laughing over what he was saying, and the tears were coming out of our eyes. I can't ever remember anything funnier than just listening to him talk about the interactive poo doll and some of the
other
things.
It was
great.
And different voices that he used.
So our funniest moments are actually things that podcast listeners can go back and share with us.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember hearing that podcast, me and Tosh were in the same room, and we were laughing real hard, too.
Why do you like hosting the podcast?
Probably the best part for me is just interviewing... you know, the actors, you know, the sound designers, just really getting a better understanding of all the people behind the show. But not only that, but the passion and the love that they have for Adventures in Odyssey and for the audience of reaching out to, you know, the target audience being children. But again, you know, I'm in my 40s and I listen, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, you didn't have to tell us that.
But, you know, we're all just kind of... you hear the people, and it's the same thing that, you know, that I bring to Clubhouse. Like Bob said, he's called to do Plugged In and teach, you know, media discernment. I feel that same way with Clubhouse Magazine, where, you know, I'm writing for those 8 to 12-year-old kids and just really have a passion for that age group. And that's really what Odyssey's passionate about, too. So that's really been the best part.
Ditto.
Wow. You're short that time.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like you probably were getting tired of hearing my voice.
No. Our podcast will hear us all the time, and it'd be great to hear some other voices.
Well, I think one of the things I've enjoyed, sort of a byproduct of hosting the podcast, I think I've already kind of shared the enjoyment I get of talking to various creative people connected with the show and the idea of kind of breezing in and having fun with Jess. But one of the side effects, positive, that come from this is my kids, I think, respect what I do even more. Because, you know, I've been with Focus on the Family for 19 years almost. And before I got involved with Odyssey, it was, you know, magazine editor. editor. I'd worked on some books. I'd done things that they really couldn't identify with or relate to. But as soon as I got involved with Adventures in Odyssey and then started hosting the podcast back in the end of 2006, it was like, hey, Dad's cool. You know, Dad's tight with the Odyssey people. He knows Whit and Eugene and Connie. This is really kind of neat. And so I think I got a little extra credibility in my own house, which is nice.
Okay. What is your favorite episode of the podcast that you recorded?
My favorite one was actually a video podcast. And it was kind of the one where we're chasing Brock all over the place.
Oh, that one was hilarious. Me and Tasha went over that and laughed.
It took probably 2 days. Well, we filmed on two different days. It wasn't all of both days. But just the work and just some of the stuff that went into it. And just as a little side story, you know, Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, he was in one of the studios recording a podcast at the same time that here Bob and I are running down the halls of, you know, the broadcast area, spilling popcorn everywhere, chasing Brock around.
Yeah, you got the fun part.
Exactly.
Didn't.
We're running around on scooters and all this craziness, and I'm just thinking, oh boy, I hope he knows what we're doing here, because we just look like idiots, and there he is, you know, real officially doing his podcast. But he was laughing at us. He loves what we do. His kids listen to Adventures in Odyssey, so that was just a lot of fun doing that one.
The interview with Chris Anthony was a highlight. I do remember that one being special. And probably any podcast where it sort of transcends just communicating information and becomes more of entertainment. Like I remember the one we did, Jess, it was the countdown of the music, you know, the background music that we had done. The New Year's Eve.
Love that episode.
That was a lot of fun. Just being able to hear some things that, you know, it was entertaining to us as well as to the people that we were sharing it with. And then doing just some of the fun stuff, like remember we had the that little device that I hooked up to you that anytime that you told a lie, it kind of rang off. And then you had all those double negatives and everything, and
there
you
we
fried
go.
It.
Exactly.
I mean,
yes.
Those kinds of things. Those are fun podcasts to record and then go back and listen to later.
Yeah, Tasha sometimes gives me too many double negatives.
Well, never don't do that ever again, not. Or something.
Okay, I think it's my turn now. Okay. How was Bob chosen to be the announcer for the Darien's Rise promo?
Everyone else was at lunch. I know. I'm not sure. I think it was I was available that day, and they just said, hey, how about come on down? In fact, I think we did a couple Odyssey promos as well. But, just more or less availability. One of the things, Jesse's out of town a lot. Most people don't realize this, but the life of a clubhouse editor means you've got to go. In fact, maybe you'd like to tell people some of the things that you've done, because, it really is interesting. Some of the people you've interviewed and the places you've gone to do it.
Just some of the fast-paced wildlife of a clubhouse editor. Well, last week I was actually down in Florida teaching at the Florida Christian Writers Conference. I get to go down there and talk to people about how to write for Clubhouse and how to write for kids and teach some workshops and actually shared a keynote with like 300 people out there. So that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that and actually got to talk with Tori Martin. Tori Martin was another one of the faculty members down there in Florida.
And you might want to tell them who Tori is, because not everyone knows.
Oh, of course. Tori Martin, the creator of Wooten. Wooten basically is Tori in a lot of ways. There's a lot of Tori in Wooten. And he kind of brought that character to Adventures in Odyssey and still writes some Adventures in Odyssey episodes as well. So it was great to connect with Tori and talk about what he's doing in the magazine, because he's writing Wooten's Random Ramblings for us every single month.
I enjoyed reading that.
Well, thanks.
Especially his poem.
Yes, the poem is great. And just wait, it gets this story with Eulalie May, and it gets really funny. We just finished our July deadline for the magazine was Monday. So I've read all the random ramblings through July already, and of course those will slowly be out into all the readers' hands as well. So, but interviewed just, you know, a lot of different people, whether it's going to SeaWorld and swimming with beluga whales and talking to people who train the animals or... I mean, just too many stories, and just all kinds of people.
You've done this for a long time.
Done it for about 15 years, yeah.
So, just it's a fun job, and Bob has to just write and talk.
Pretty much.
There we go.
Yeah, of course, I was 16 years as the editor of Plugged In magazine. We don't have a magazine anymore. Now it's shifted to different types of media. I do host the podcast and do some other editing, and I'm responsible for a lot of that. But yeah, 16 years of Plugged In, and of course, our deadlines were such, and the nature of the work, where I was in my cubicle a lot. And that made it very convenient for Nathan, when he was on deadline, to pick up the phone and say, hey, can you just come on down and read something for me?
Bob, I have to say that you have a real good trailer voice.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, the next question we have is, which do you like doing the most, audio or video podcast?
I wonder, go ahead, Jess, you go first.
All right, I honestly prefer the audio podcasts because there's very little stress in doing those, and I have a face for radio. So running around and being silly, I love the way the video ones turn out. There's just a lot more stress in trying to, gel my hair that day, maybe. Try to look a little bit better on camera than I normally would.
Yeah, there's a lot of other variables when you shoot a video podcast that can cause you to have to go back and do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
And can I ask who makes the most mistakes on the video podcast?
I don't know. We're pretty much in a dead heat. Yeah. I think we both... The funny thing is, even though they share an outtake or two sometimes,
yeah.
Nathan doesn't show you a whole lot more than he does show you.
We have so many. And sometimes
it's just... He doesn't want to embarrass you guys.
Exactly, and he could. There's plenty of material. And I think, Bob, it's fairly equal, but it's just different days. Like, some video shoots, one of us is doing it better than the other one, and the other time it's vice versa. So I say it's pretty equal.
Yeah.
So the audio podcast, you think they're a lot easier, or you don't like acting up?
Yeah, I think just getting behind a microphone, it's a little bit more relaxed for me anyway. I'm sure that you could ask Brock. I wish we could ask
him. Yeah, there we go.
You know, he probably likes those video podcasts.
He does.
Gets a little extra FaceTime.
That's right.
Okay. When did you start working at Focus?
Well, this is Jesse. I started working at Focus on the Family. It was August 16th, 1993. So about 16 and a half years I've been here.
Yeah, and it was the August of 91. I had just finished my graduate work at the University of Kentucky, go Wildcats, and started then, and yeah, was here for just about 2 years longer than Jesse.
So have you enjoyed working there?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I remember when I interviewed... And here's something, a piece of trivia. When I joined Focus on the Family, I was actually a writer in their marketing department. I was writing, copy for the backs of video boxes, and was creating, copy for the backs of book jackets and things like that. And it was very shortly after that, about a year, that I moved into the youth culture department and was into the media discernment. That was where I really kind of caught the vision of that and have been there ever since. But yeah, it was, I remember when I interviewed, I said, boy, this is the kind of organization, because I had listened to Dr. Dobson on the radio. I was familiar with a lot of their publications and really felt a kinship with where Focus was coming from philosophically and spiritually, and I felt it was going to be a great fit. And I told the guy interviewing me, I think this is the kind of place I could almost retire from. Now, it remains to be seen whether or not I go that long, but the fact that I've been here almost 20 years it's a testimony to the fact that I think God knew what was going to not only utilize my talents, but also be tremendously satisfying to me professionally, and then also of use to the kingdom. And I think that marriage has been wonderful, and I don't look forward to that ending anytime soon.
Well, I hope it doesn't end anytime soon.
All right.
Or you too, Jesse.
I always say that I haven't worked a day in my life since I've been here, because it's just been so in tune with my passions. Just like Bob, finished up grad school. I was at Wheaton College in Illinois and moved out to Colorado and started work at Focus on the Family. And I was working for Breakaway magazine, the teen boys magazine that we did for about 15 years, and loved doing that, and then was able to move over to be editor of both Clubhouse and Club Junior for a few years, help start different publications for parents. And now I'm just really enjoying, the Clubhouse age group. I think that's my favorite age group. And if I wasn't working here at Focus on the Family, I'd probably be out there being either a middle school teacher and working with kids that way, because I'm just really it's just a great age.
Okay, this question is for Bob. Is it any different recording the Plugged In podcast?
Very different, actually. as I mentioned earlier, one of the nice things about doing this podcast is that Nathan does all the heavy lifting. So, but we just get called in to do our part, have our role in it. But in terms of organizing it and uploading it and all that kind of things, the Plugged In podcast, for anyone who's listened to it, that is the official Plugged In podcast.
Yes.
We like that word official around here. That one, you know, we try and get a lot of information in a relatively short podcast. We go from usually 17 to about 22 minutes, and it's my responsibility not only to host it, but to prepare all the transitional material, know who the sponsors are, get the contracts for the Christian music that we do at the end, you know, line up the guests, do the interviews. So all the stuff that, Nathan does, I do for the Plugged In podcast, plus hosting. So there's a little bit more, if you want to look at it as stress, of watching the clock, making sure that our segments are a certain length so that we don't, you know, go on too long and get boring for people, but that we hit the key things. I'm also watching content to make sure that we say what we really need to say, that we don't miss things. So all those things go into the Plugged In podcast for me, whereas with Odyssey, it really is a more relaxing experience, I guess.
Yeah, and Jesse, you were on the Plugged In podcast, weren't you?
I was. Bob invited me on there, so when we talked about Princess and the Frog, and he has said that this summer I'll be invited back.
That's right.
So I'm excited.
Jesse, do you work on Clubhouse Junior too?
I work a little bit on Clubhouse Junior. What I do is help edit galleys. After a story's been written, then the designer gets the artwork and lays it out and in color, and then I kind of look at, and we call those a galley. And so I read the galleys for Clubhouse Junior, and then Suzanne, who's the editor of Clubhouse Junior, she reads Clubhouse galley. So we just kind of look at each other's material and make sure that it, you know, makes sense to each other, checking for mistakes and that kind of thing. But really, Clubhouse Junior, that's all Suzanne and her team, and just a great little magazine.
The next one is, oh wait, it's your turn, Tasha.
Okay. What was it like recording with the unofficial podcast team?
They were so much fun to work with. They came out here, and I don't know, just the laughter that was brought into the podcast room.
Yeah. Chris and Sarah, their enthusiasm and their passion for Odyssey was fresh for us, because, of course, it was in conjunction with the live event.
Yeah.
And anytime you host an event like that here at Focus on the Family, there's a lot of different things going on. It's more than just the podcast. It's all the other activities and deadlines and responsibilities. Plus, you got to remember that Jesse, working with his Clubhouse deadlines, me at the time, we're Plugged In magazine deadlines, we were being pulled in so many different directions. I think it was refreshing to come into the studio and to just enjoy the just that their experience, kind of live through them, the fan experience and just the innocence and the exuberance. And they weren't being pulled in a lot of directions with a lot of different responsibilities. So seeing it through their eyes was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Sarah has the best laugh. I'm sorry. I still just remember that.
Yay!
Yeah, exactly.
She made pretty good chocolate chip cookies, too. She brought us some cookies. It was great.
What is your favorite AIO character?
My favorite character is Wooten. I just love Wooten Bassett. Just his kind-heartedness, his weirdness, but kind of a fun, just lovable weirdness. And I also love the actor who plays him. I mean, Jess Harnell is just a solid individual and so very talented. So I would say Wooten is my favorite. And again, I already talked about, you know, Tori, and just knowing Tori and seeing how his life is kind of woven into that character and the playfulness. And he's just a blast. I love Wooten.
I don't know that I have one that is a favorite. And this sounds like a cop-out, but I really don't mean it to be that way. But I understand what Jesse means when he says, by having gotten to know some of the performers a little bit, that it warms you up even more to their character. You love them anyway. So I think that for me, I can't say that there's one character that when suddenly they show up in an episode, it's like, all right, this is a Wit episode or this is a Wooten episode. I love it. I think actually Lieutenant Shaw from the series, the one where they were trying to blow up Wit's End, you know, that whole the Darkness Before Dawn. Lieutenant Shaw has
that was you?
Yeah, he's a special place in my heart.
Yeah. Well, thanks to both of you. I have to. Bob is going to.
I'll hang out a little longer.
All
sure,
right,
we
good.
Can do that.
But thanks so much, brother sister team, bringing it. Great questions, both of you guys, and I can't wait to hear this.
All right.
All right.
Tasha, I think it's your turn.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Do you listen to other Odyssey fan podcasts?
I've listened to The Unofficial with Chris and Sarah, of course, and Kevin McCreary has done some really clever stuff on the ceiling fan. And, of course, that's not a specifically targeting the Adventures in Odyssey characters and so on, but every once in a while they'll do some fun parodies, and I enjoy what they've done. But I'm sure that there are others out there that I just don't know about.
Well, after we record this, you should hear our podcast.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to find you, absolutely.
Did you think you get so well known by doing the official podcast?
Are we well known? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you are.
I don't know. I've yet to be stopped in public. I know.
Well, I know you were at the live show.
Well, you know, that was fun, and I think the doing the video podcasts makes it a little easier for people to recognize us. But I don't know that Jesse and I have had to fight off autograph hounds or anything. We're pretty humble guys, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just people are respecting our privacy. I don't know.
Okay. What's your favorite job at Focus?
Well, you know, like I said, I have great passion for everything I do here, which, that's what keeps it going. And I think the diversity of things that I've been blessed to be able to have my hands in over the years is what has kept it fresh. And I won't bore you with all the details, but I can just say we serve a God who is amazing at knowing what we're capable of, even when we don't know it, because, once we lean on Him and He wants to take us in different directions, and if we just say, God, I'm open to it, I did not get hired to do any of the things I have done probably over the last 15 years here. And the fact that we've been successful is not a testimony to my ability, but a testimony to God's ability when I've made myself available and embraced different opportunities and changes. And so, again, I think my favorite, I go back to Odyssey as being the most fun and the most lightweight. I mean, it's one thing to have to work through some of the darkness of the culture so that families don't have to, and to be able to work, give them the specifics that allow them to have meaningful communication about entertainment. That's not always a lot of fun, though. But, not being able to come down to the studio and be part of the Odyssey team, even as infrequently as we do, that really does kind of lighten things up a little bit. And I think that was the Lord's way of saying, hey, here's something to get you through on some of those hard days. It's been a tremendous pleasure to be part of Odyssey.
With something that you just said there, I guess we transition to this next question. How many times do you guys record a month for the official podcast?
Well, typically it's about twice a month, but sometimes if we've got either travel schedule for Jess or vacations or holidays upcoming where things get kind of dicey in terms of getting everybody together in the studio, sometimes we will we'll load up and we'll get three or four podcasts in the can and ready to go. Occasionally we've had interviews that have been so good, like, Jesse did one, I think it was last year with the Washington family, and that was three parts. And of course that was, he sat down and did the interview in one sitting, and then we came in, and after Nathan had divided it into thirds, we kind of created the open and the close for each one and made them stand alone well. But there you go. That's for a podcast that shows up every other week. There you go, 6 weeks worth of content, really, in a very short amount of time. So sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes we'll get called down at the last minute, and we'll have to kind of scramble to put things together because something just happened, and we really want to be responsive to what's going on. Video podcasts are fun, but take longer. Nathan's nodding. It's the idea of not only putting it all together, but the post-production on that can be tricky. You may remember when we were chasing Brock through Focus on the Family, there were several different effects that were used, like the video, the surveillance camera effect, and some other things like that that take extra time. So because we do a pretty consistent job of getting out there every other week, it's safe to say on average, though, it's two a month.
Well, Tasha, why don't you ask the last question?
All right. What is your favorite Odyssey episode?
Well, the obvious choice would be Aloha Oi, because it was the first one I got the chance to be a participant in. It was really my introduction to working with the Odyssey team. So that one's got a special place in my heart. But I think just in terms of the one I like to listen to over and over and over again, The Present Long Ago is a very sweet story. It sort of has that Twilight Zone-y twist at the end, which is a genre that I really, I enjoy. I mean, anything with a twist, I just love it. But, you know, it's the one with Mandy where she's a grandmother, actually, and she's talking about how she, well, I don't want to give too much away, because not everybody who listens to your podcast may have heard that one. But the idea being that this gift that was delivered anonymously, and who it was giving it, and some of the things going on in Trent's imagination throughout that. Jess Harnell does some great impressions during that episode as well. And it was also written by one of my favorite Odyssey writers, who is a colleague of mine at Plugged In, Bob Hoos. So I think overall, if I had to choose one, and it's hard to do because there have been hundreds of them, but I think The Present Long Ago would be at the top of my list.
Mm. Could I interject with one more question here?
Absolutely.
On one of the last podcasts, you said that one of the new opening things for the podcast was your favorite. Could you tell us here which one was your favorite?
Oh, you know what? And I'm not dodging the question. I'm having a hard time remembering. I do think it was not the one that was voted in. I think it was number two. I mean, I don't remember exactly. It's been a little while since we recorded that. But all of them were good. I mean, they were all variations on a theme, and I think John Campbell did a wonderful job. And it's kind of neat that now our theme is really similar to Odyssey's main theme, which before we didn't have the benefit of that because it was just so different. But now we feel a little bit closer to the program itself.
Well, thank you, Bob, for putting up with us.
Austin, Natasha, you guys are great, and I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing some of the things that you've done. Keep listening to Odyssey. We love to have fans like you out there who really care about the show.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nathan, for all that you've done and all the patience you've put up for her with all the phone stuff. Yeah. Well, thank you too, Bob.
Take care, guys. God bless.